Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you're expecting Dr. Carol and you're waiting to call in and you're thinking, but I really need my vet pet problem solved today, don't worry. She's coming up next. So stay tuned. In about two more segments, maybe less, you can call us with your Dr. Carol problem. But right now, you've got me, Deb Wolf. If you've got a pet problem, a training problem, you can call the show with that as well. And we've got a guest on with something brand new. It's called the Pet Deck. It has nothing to do with lounging on your sun deck, and it has nothing to do with cassettes. It's the Pet Deck, and we're going to be talking to Joe Volpe. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hi, thank you very much.
So what's the Pet Deck all about, Joe?
The Pet Deck was designed to safely carry pets in or out of cages in the backseat of vehicles. And the best way of describing or thinking about it in a simplistic sense is take a picnic cooler lid that's about 2 foot by 4 foot, mm-hmm. and we're going to lay it on the back seat, and we need to keep it from tipping, so we're going to have legs that unfold from it, and those legs are adjustable for the various seat heights. They self-store. Then the next thing we had to address was the seat is sloped, and pets don't like being on sloped seats. So built in underneath are 2-inch raising blocks that take most of the slope out of the seat. We end up creating an area that's approximately 8 square feet, whereas typically just about everything else on the market is about 5 square feet. It installs
So you're extending the seat. So they end up with like a whole flat, comfortable area instead of skidding around and falling into the seat in front of them.
Yeah, falling into the footwell. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Falling into the footwell.
And seats are designed for humans. The bucket seats, they're curved, they have dips in them and all. And the dogs don't really like being on those. That's why lots of times they end up, you know, sitting there instead of laying down. It's just not comfortable. And, of course, they're a little nervous at looking at this footwell, too. And if you stop fast, they're going to fall into the footwell. There's no doubt about that. So the Pet Deck is a completely, you know, flat area. It has a custom carpet that goes on it that's machine washable, or you can hose it off or vacuum it off. It just makes them very, very comfortable. And we don't block the air conditioning vents. We don't connect to the headrests on the front seat. So if the dog is loose and he's moving around, it's not jerking on those headrests.
It sounds like you've worked this out. How long has this product been available?
Well, I started engineering it. I am an engineer in the automotive industry 4 years ago. And we brought it to market about a year ago. We're now in almost all the major catalogs. We're on Caesar's Way magazine. We've sold worldwide. Matter of fact, we just sent a shipment to Israel, of all places. And so,
well, they've got dogs there. They've got cars there. Why not? Actually, it surprised me to learn years ago, back then they used to say that more people are killed in car accidents every year than by all the wars combined in Israel. Israel has some bad drivers. So I don't doubt that they need more safety for the pets that are along for the ride. Does this interfere with things like harnesses and seat belts and safety devices we already have?
No. Matter of fact, we leave it open at the very back, a couple inches at the back, to hook up to the rear seat harnesses, because that's one of the things we recommend, is the dog should always be leashed in. The other thing is, when you're not using it for your dog, you can put your grocery shopping back there, your anything you want to put there, tools, luggage, samples, briefcases, carry the pizza back from the store. It's very handy for many, many uses other than just the dogs themselves.
And what's it look like? Can we have a look at it? Is there pictures of it somewhere?
It's on the website of petdeck.com, PETDEK.com.
Nice.
I also want to mention that you mentioned safety. One of the most important things is to get the dogs out of the front seat. if you're in an accident and that airbag goes off, it's going to maim the dog, possibly even kill the dog. Now, the worst thing is when people drive around with the dogs in their lap, the dog's going to get crushed by the airbag. And so I think about a half a dozen states, Dr. Carroll was telling me, I think it was, have now have laws against that. The dogs cannot be in the front seat. They have to be lashed in the back seat, just like, you know, children do.
There's a couple idea. Things wrong with having your dog running around the front. I've heard of situations where there's one neighbor of mine who was killed this way. He was driving, and the people driving the other direction had a loose lab. And the dog also died. They had a head-on collision, but the dog went through the vehicle, through the front of the window, like a big 80-pound missile, and hit the driver of the other vehicle, my neighbor, and he was killed instantly, both the dog and the driver. So, I mean, if that dog had been seat-belted and on one of your devices in the back, that probably wouldn't have happened. At least that part of the accident wouldn't have happened, because the other driver was seat-belted in. He didn't have to get impact. Everybody was wearing seatbelts except the dog. So that was really a shame. But the other thing that happens a lot is the little dog or tennis ball or things the dog is playing with can get under the brake. They get right under the brake pedal, and then you cannot hit your brake. You can't stop your car. And that's really dangerous, and it causes quite a few accidents, more than you'd think.
Yes, an excellent point. I also point out to people, even when the dog's in the back seat on the pet deck, if it's not lashed in, first thing it wants to do when the car door is open is jump out. And if you're in a traffic area, that's a problem. Or if you have the windows down in the back, the dogs will jump out the windows.
Oh, good, Rachel. How are you?
So the safest thing to do is always keep it leashed in the back seat. I also should mention that the pet deck takes less than a minute to install it, which is pretty amazing, and that's not an exaggeration. We have a brand new video coming out in the next week or so showing that in real time exactly what takes place. It's just so simple to use. Then that means people will use it.
Yeah, so it just takes a minute or two to throw in there. I mean, I remember when I used to be a dog walker, I had to go cut wood and stain it and get meshing put in and measure it all and have it secured. The things they sold were like made of rubber and string almost. They were like bungee cord type things to keep dogs back. And there's no way they would have worked. So I'm glad to hear that you've created something that's solid but easy to use. Okay, so petdeck.com, where you can see it, PETDEK.com. This is Finn Joel Volpe. We're running out of time, Joe. What do you want to leave them with? One thought about the pet deck.
It's easy to use. It weighs 12 pounds. It supports 200 pounds.
200 pounds. Well, most dogs aren't 200 pounds. That's a couple
right.
of dogs. Two and
exactly.
a half dogs, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, we had 150-pound St. Bernard in one time for taking pictures.
You know what? Christmas Day, I was looking after the kennel myself, and there was this St. Bernard here named Goldie. And after walking her and playing with her and having all kinds of fun with her, all of a sudden she decided that wrestling was our game. And she decided to literally try and pin me to the ground. It was like best 2 out of 3. Her tail's up, her bum's in the air, she's having the greatest time. I'm
yep.
thinking to myself, who the heck trains a St. Bernard to wrestle? These people
yep.
are crazy. Anyway, I won. She was in the pen. But yeah, you wouldn't want that flopping around your car. Okay, so everybody, we've got to go. We've got Dr. Carroll lined up with all her sick callers with their itchy, scratchy pets and their ear infections. And God only knows what, but she'll help them today on Smart Animal Talk. So check out petdeck.com, and we'll be back in a minute with Dr. Carroll. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Thank you.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, welcome back to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You can now hear all of our shows anytime, 24/7. Just go to WPetTalkRadio.com on the web or on your smartphone, WPet Talk Radio, or you can tune in the app. Well, that's a lot. Dr. Carol, yeah. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for hosting last week when I was away.
Well, gosh, Deb, thanks for having me back. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, well, I think we've got a bunch of calls. They were calling earlier in the show, trying to get in their itchy, scratchy, annoying, limpy, dog won't eat questions.
Well, that sounds terrific. We're ready to roll.
I know. I hope they call back. And if anybody has a dog who won't come sit, stay, heel, or a cat who isn't using the litter box or some other behavioral problem, they can call the show too. Because we love that, don't we?
Absolutely. All kinds of questions, any breed, any shape, any size. We're here to answer your questions.
I was in Vancouver the other day, and I met my very first cross-dressing dog ever. I bent down. There was this little, you know, type chihuahua at this store, and it was running around. And someone said, "Someone catch that dog." So I caught the dog and I picked it up and I looked at it and I said, "But you have such a boy's face. Why are you wearing a dress?" And his owner came over, and his owner looked like a really pretty young woman. And she sort of grabbed the dog off me and she said, "Oh, thank you so much." And I said, why is your boy dog wearing a dress? And this person dropped their voice about two octaves and said, "Well, darling, he's got to look like me, doesn't he?" And I couldn't believe it. So I thought the cross-dressing chihuahua ever. So funny. The dog doesn't care. Honest to God, the dog doesn't care. People think it's cruel. I don't think it's cruel. Do you think it's cruel?
I don't think it's cruel at all. Not at all. But I've got a question for you, Deb.
Sure.
Did you know that scientists have discovered the dog's preferred bathroom position?
Oh, dear. Okay. What is it? Is it not the squat?
Well, that's a very good point. Scientists have discovered that dogs across a wide variety of breeds align their body's axis with the Earth's magnetic field when they're relieving themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, that's the turnaround thing. They turn around. Are they just trying to like get their compass right?
Well, that's the turnaround thing. And this is a report that was actually published in the journal called Frontiers in Zoology. And what they have determined, believe it or not, is that dogs prefer to eliminate in the north-south direction. And that's when they, again, are aligning themselves up with the Earth's magnetic field. So it'll be north-south as opposed to east-west.
That's really interesting. I'm going to watch that at Camp Good Dog because I have a view of many, many dogs pooping most days. Right now I'm looking at a Collie Shepherd cross and two chocolate labs that are sort of playing, you know, who's taller than who, but in a playful way, not in a fight way. And, well, there's a good question for you. I often get asked this, and I have my opinion on it. People ask me, is there such a thing as breed recognition? Is there a reason that these two chocolate labs, for example, are getting along so darn well as compared to maybe a random mutt or a lab and a poodle or a boxer and a shepherd? What do you think, Dr. Carroll?
Well, you know, I think that that's a good question, and it might be, I don't have a scientific published answer, but it might be just as simple as people. When people meet each other, I think that it's a natural inclination to say, well, gosh, she or he is very similar to myself. So you feel very comfortable with that individual versus if you meet someone that is from a different part of the country or is just very, very different from you, you know, you might feel a little more awkward getting to know that individual. Does that make any sense?
I think that's true. They do have a certain, you know, like labs like to swim and goldens like to swim. So they play in a similar way.
Sure.
But I also think, maybe I have a little bit of a strange view of things as a breeder because I breed purebred poodles, but I also breed golden doodles. And I really see breed recognition among the doodles. They will go to a golden or a poodle equally like it's their parent. You know, they have a really strong connection with both what they came from, more so than all the other dogs they meet. So I think part of it is imprinting as infants from their parents, from their immediate pack, who looks most familiar from birth. So I think if you took an Irish setter and raised it with a boxer, it would think it was a boxer in that way. And I sort of did that with my red poodle. When I adopted my red poodle, she was about 3 months old, and I had a golden retriever in the barn with a litter of golden doodles that were about 2 months old. And I snuck her in with them because I wanted her and the mom to be best friends and buddies for life, because she was going to be my new breeding female. And it worked. They act like their mother and daughter. Like, I tricked her. But that poodle will always love goldens as much as she loves poodles, you know, because that was her initial imprint. So I think there is something to it. I do.
Well, I think that that makes a lot of sense, and there likely is something to it. We'll have to let time tell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or if these people doing the bathroom research get the idea to do some research that we're actually interested in, maybe they'll go for this. Because I mean, what did they do? How much funding did they get to sit and watch dogs go poop?
Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. They actually had recorded the thousands of number of times that they watched dogs and monitored dogs going, quote, number one versus number two. And at the end of the study, decided that not only do dogs prefer to go urinating and defecating in the north-south direction, but that they specifically avoid eliminating either way in the east-to-west direction.
Can you imagine these people trying to make small talk at a party? Oh, so what do you do?
I watch dogs poo, and I write down what direction. Oh, what a job. What a job.
Very interesting. It's interesting that they actually come up with funding for trials like this, when in my mind I wonder, gosh, why don't they set up funding to find a way to keep pets healthy or something like that?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of funding that should be going on that isn't. And then there's these crazy things. But, you know, I am interested to know that they poop and pee along the magnetic line of north-south. I find that interesting. There's supposed to be something about sleeping that way, too. You're supposed to get a better sleep if you do that, if you set your bed up that way. I don't know if it's true, though. I think all the magnet healing was disproved, wasn't it?
The magnet healing is a little bit iffy, but this does kind of go along with the dog's sixth sense and how they can perceive things, you know, that we are unable to, and how they can find their way home after they've been gone for 5 years. So there really is something to these magnetic fields, and going to the bathroom, aligning yourself north and south might just be the first step in all kinds of great things that the future will tell us.
Well, maybe it does have something more to do with magnetic flow. Maybe we'll start to figure out some connection through that to their fear of thunder or something like that, or how they find things so well, how they find home. I mean, there are some things we could learn from them that maybe have to do with the poles. If they always know where north and south is without a compass, that's one up on us right there, isn't it?
That's definitely one up on us. And I can also tell you that this situation with chemical neutering, you know, avoiding the surgery and just giving one quick little injection into each testicle has really got many people in this country up in arms. In fact, I was just looking at a journal the other day, and they're now calling it the Gonad Chronicles.
Gonad Chronicles. Why are people up in arms? Well, we're going to have to come back and talk about that because we're running out of time on this segment. I also wanted to ask you, is it cool or is it creepy? I have two things that I want you to tell me your opinion, cool or creepy. Okay, so we have 30 seconds left, Doctor. We'll be back with Dr. Carol. We'll give you her contact numbers and all that jazz next. If you want to hear us, you can. All the time, 24/7, just go to WPetTalkRadio.com on the web or on your smartphone, WPet Talk Radio on the TuneIn app. Okay, well, stay tuned. We'll be back with Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello, you're back listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf And Dr. Carol. Okay, so Dr. Carol, before we get distracted and all that, would you like to give out your contact numbers real quick?
I would love to. I am veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and I proudly am having the grand opening to my new veterinary clinic, the first center of integrative veterinary medicine in the state of Ohio, this weekend. So if you happen to live in the Cleveland or the Chagrin Falls, Ohio area, we'd love to have you. Our toll-free phone is 866-372-2765. You can visit us online at carolonpets.com or www.drcarol.com. That's drcarol.com.
Okay, so before we went to break, I said that I'm going to ask you, is it cool or is it creepy? And I have two things.
Okay.
Okay. If there's a tampon that's never been used, but it's out of the package, and it's sitting on the floor, and it's plastic with a string hanging on it, and it looks kind of like a mouse, and a bunch of cats are playing hockey with it, is it cool or is it creepy?
Is it cool or is it creepy? Well, it's probably a little creepy.
It's a little creepy, I would say. That was actually an email we got this week tasking me, am I a crazy cat lady? This lady wrote in because she said, I thought it was cool, but my husband thought it was really creepy. What do you think? I'm like, I don't know. I'm mixed on that one.
Yeah,
okay.
They could probably get a better toy.
And then there's a guy listening. Okay, now he did not tell me. He's a guy from your life or a guy from my life. He did not say that. But what he did say is that one of us, he used to see one of us and doesn't anymore.
Okay.
But he listens to the show to hear our voice.
Oh, my.
Cool or creepy, Dr. Carol?
Extremely creepy.
I hope it's you. I really do. Okay, well, it's probably me.
I was
anyway.
Kind of hoping it was you.
Yeah, no, it's probably me. It really is. Okay, well, let's continue with the show. The gonad controversy. How can I resist a topic like that? I got the balls for it. Do you, Dr. Carol?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny because we're so used to the spaying and the neutering, which, of course, has done a fabulous job of nipping the unwanted pet population and trying to keep it somewhat in control. But as we've come out with chemical neutering, which is something new within the United States, but in Europe, they have been neutering and apparently spaying pets like this for some time. So they've got this whole Gonad Chronicles multi-page articles coming out in these veterinary journals. And I think it's I don't really know why people are in such a quandary, apparently veterinarians, in a quandary over that. In my opinion, as a veterinarian, I think that chemical neutering is wonderful. It's cost effective. It's far less stressful to the pet. We avoid general anesthesia. You know, whenever you go to sleep, there's never a guarantee that you're going to wake up. So those are some huge obstacles.
Yeah. You get into a situation like I have my old man that I would really like to neuter probably soon, maybe. But I won't even consider it because he's too old. He's too old to go under. You know, and maybe his life would be longer and better if he wasn't such a target out there. I don't know. But I don't even have the choice here. I've asked about it. It's not even here yet. It's weird to me how emotional people get around the sexuality of animals. Don't you find?
I think it's very strange. And I don't know, quite honestly, other than a financial concern, I don't understand what the upheaval would be. Because as far as I see it as a veterinarian, it's much more
humane.
It's much more humane. It's much less expensive. It's less stress and trauma for the owner and the pet. And in my opinion, the beauty of this for the pet is that there is still a small level of the male hormone, which is called testosterone, that even after this chemical neutering is complete, this small, tiny amount of the male testosterone hormone circulates in the pet's body forever. And that's a good thing because in addition to procreation, our sex hormones, estrogen for the female, testosterone for the male, are so important for many, many things.
Regulation, all kinds of things.
You know, specifically.
Yeah.
specifically the health of your heart, your brain, and your bones. Those would be the top three.
And aging, right? I mean, doesn't it help with anti-aging? Well,
absolutely. The good Lord gave us hormones because our body needs them. So I just think, you know, even if you have a dog that's aggressive and you're doing it to correct behavior, et cetera, the chemical castration will still accomplish all those wants, but just a whole lot easier at a much lesser cost.
The only weird thing, it was something I raised as a sort of funny issue about the show dog world, and that would be the weird part, is that it would be very hard to tell them apart. So there could be a lot of trickery played, bad goings on, you know, sterilizing other people's champions and this kind of thing that I would worry about, or showing dogs that weren't able to breed. So the whole breeding world could have a problem with it, but I don't see why the vet world would. Do you know what? We have a caller, so we're going to have to get back to the gonad debate. I'm still hoping I get my fake testicles. What do you call them again?
Nudicles.
Nudicles. I want a pair of those for bookends. I really, really do, Dr. Carol. Send me some nudicles, will you?
You're going to get a little surprise birthday present. We'll have some nudicles for you.
Exciting. Okay, well, we've got a caller on the line. It's Sally. Welcome to the show, Sally.
Well, thank you very much.
What have you got for us today? Have you got a dog or a cat?
I have a dog.
Okay.
My question is certainly a lot more calm than your previous discussion. my dog is a 10-year-old Cocker Spaniel, and he has chronic ear problems.
Uh-oh. Sally,
stinky.
What's your dog? Stinky ears.
Stinky, stinky, itchy, wet, disgusting?
Itchy, smelly, constantly flapping his ears around, rubbing his head against the floor.
Poor guy. Sally, what's your dog's name?
His name is Bentley.
Bentley.
Well, I bet they're hot, too. I bet it's like burning hot in there.
I would imagine it is. He just seems miserable half the time.
Aw, poor guy. Well, we only have 2 minutes, so if we don't get this solved in the next minute and a half, we'll come back with the next segment and talk to you, Sally. But let's go for it, Dr. Carol. How can you help her with the Cocker Spaniel with the chronic, never-ending ear infections?
Well, Sally, we can nip this problem in the bud. I'm Dr. Carol.
Nice to talk to you, Dr. Carol.
Well, and it's nice to talk to you. Thanks so much for calling. Basically, ears are such a problem in Cocker Spaniels. We call the condition Cocker ear. So what you want to do is if you have a pair of clippers, if you don't, you might want to buy one. You want to get a pair of clippers with a number 10 blade.
Okay.
And you want to just shave the inside of that ear flap and get rid of all the hair and shave right around that little ear canal as well as you can. And then if your dog is nice and allows you to, you want to take a little tweezers and you want to pluck the hair that is actually growing inside the ear canal. That sort of hurts a tiny bit. But the idea is to get as much air into the ear canal as we can. And then you want to get yourself an ear cleaner. There are ear cleaners available through your veterinarian. Otocleanse would be one. Little solution of white vinegar and water would be something that you could use as well. But you want to clean the ears out once a day, and you'll get that brown, black, yellowish type of debris out there along with the smell. And then you want to go ahead and medicate those ears. The best medication that I have found as a veterinarian is called Momentamax. It's just a cream. We apply it once a day, and it works great because it gets the bacteria as well as the yeast. And most of these dogs have a combination. So basically,
Dr. Carol, we only have 30 seconds, so I do want to come back with her and talk a little more about this because I've got some questions too. Like, can she use the dry powder? And what about diet? Does it have a role in this? And how come I've seen Cocker Spaniels with their hair in a ponytail, with their ears in a bun? Okay, because these are things maybe she's got to try. So we'll be back in a few seconds. Can you hang in there, Sally?
I sure can.
Okay, so we'll be back because I know there's lots of people out there with deep-eared dogs, dogs who love to swim. Just as soon as you run out of the meds, the dog's ears are better for a few days, and then back, you're back at the vet. So we're going to solve that for you today with Dr. Carol on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy, and I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love
food. Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf. And Dr. Carol is midway through helping Sally with her 10-year-old Cocker Spaniel that's chronically got stinky, wet, oozy, gross, disgusting ears. So we got him trimmed, we got him clipped, we got him plucked, we got some cream on him. All right, what else do we need to know, Dr. Carol?
Well, the way I do it is I have people clip those ears, clean out the ear canal, make sure there's no hair, clean them once a day, with an over-the-counter ear cleaner, one from your vet, or you can make your own by mixing equal parts of white vinegar and water. And then you want to medicate the ears with a cocker. I would go right for the Momentamax. You would get that from your veterinarian. And basically, clean those ears for 7 to 10 days until your cotton balls are coming out clean and that horrible smell is gone. And then once the ear infection is nipped, the key to keeping it gone is to simply, you know, maybe twice a week, let's say, just check those ears and clean them out prophylactically. And the first time you get a little bit of discharge or you smell that nasty smell, then that's the sign that you need to go back and start cleaning and medicating. Now, a couple of little natural therapies I can give you. If you have a pet with ear mites and you're looking for a natural remedy, yellow dock, which is also called Rumex Crispins, you can use 2 drops in each ear every 3 days for 30 days. And another ear cleaning solution for those of you that might be looking for one, you can mix a teaspoon, which is 5 mL, of calendula with a half a teaspoon or 2.5 mL of sea salt, and then add 8 fluid ounces or 250 mLs of water. And those are just some thoughts that you can try for ear cleaning.
Okay, so what about the powder? Because I know you recommend it. Is it bad? I've heard that it's bad.
It's awful.
Okay, but it's sold as something that helps, but it really doesn't, does it? It blocks the pores, doesn't it?
Well, in my experience, a lot of the groomers use that. You get a dog back from the groomers and theirs are smacked white with powder. I don't think it's good. I think that it traps the bacteria and the moisture in the ear as opposed to letting air get in there. So when I have clients that are taking their dog to the groomer, let's say like this Cocker Spaniel, I specifically tell the client to tell the groomer, please, no powder.
Yeah, his are so waxy and gooey. I would think powder would just compound it and make the wax all get all crusty and even worse.
Well, you
want to get that out of there rather than...
Yeah.
Well, do you put your cocker's ears in a ponytail, Sally?
No.
Should she, Dr. Carol?
He has enough of an image problem without putting him in a ponytail.
Well, you know, it's a thought. You could get one of those. You could get one of those little headbands and put it on him so his ears are flopped over the headband, and then air would go in there. But he would probably be very embarrassed.
He's a little neurotic as it is, so I don't think that would quite be his style.
What about diet? Because years ago, I had a lab who swam all the time. She would stick her head all the way under the water. And so she chronically had ear infections. But doing all this treatment, at one point we switched her food. And that plus cleaning out her ears really well after swimming did the trick. Do you think there's something to the diet here with this cocker?
Well, let me address two things. First of all, any labs, any of those dogs that swim, again, we've got cocker ear, but we've also got swimmer's ear. What is the key to that? Water. So it's great to swim, but when you're done swimming, you got to wash your dog and clean out their ears. With respect to diet, that's a great question, Deb. I have a lot of my patients, we've gone off of the commercial diets and on to real, honest, homemade diets that the dogs are doing wonderfully on. And what I can tell you in general...
I do cook for my dog.
You do
cook. Oh, you cook? How about yogurt? Like, it seems to me it's a yeast thing, right? What about yogurt? I don't know. What should she add to her food? If Sally's already cooking for this itchy dog, what can she do?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel that your dog's ears problem have stayed the same, gotten better or gotten worse? Do you feel that the homemade diet has had any effect on your dog's ears or state of health versus the commercial diet?
His health in general has gotten so much better since I've started cooking for him. I don't know that it's affected his ears necessarily, but I know his general health has gotten a lot better.
Okay, well, there's a vote in the right direction. I think, personally, in my experience as a veterinarian, I think that diets, you are what you eat. I think that what you eat affects just about everything in your body, and especially when you get into the milk and the lactose and the dairy, lots of allergies, itching, ear issues. So I think, you know, and here's a client to verify it. I don't think that it's any 100% guarantee if you feed a natural diet, you'll never have an ear problem. But certainly diet does play a role. And when it comes to all your dairy products, and a lot of the carbohydrates, those are kind of no-nos. With respect to yogurt, if you're talking about organic yogurt, it's the live bacterial cultures, the lactobacillus, for example, that are in those cultures that are very beneficial. We call those friendly bacteria. So they're probiotics, or they act in the colon to absorb the nutrients that have been previously digested in the diet. Giving your dog some yogurt for a treat is absolutely fine. Try to buy organic, get some with a little fruit in it because it tastes great.
Now, what about the swimmer's ear? So her dog doesn't have swimmer's ear, I guess. So,
no.
Sally, does your dog swim?
No.
Not really.
Coward.
Okay. Is it a different situation? No, it's the same thing.
Not really. I mean, the cocker, like a basset hound, like any dog with long, floppy ears, the problem is that the ear canal is dark and damp and moist, an ideal breeding ground for bacteria and fungi, if you will. Now, labs and the breeds that swim, let's take a lab, they've got upright ears, so the air does get into the ear, and normally they're fine, but we call it a swimmer's ear in that case, and that is chronic repeated ear infections, because those ears need to be dry and clean. So they get air, but if they're always wet from swimming, the same thing's going to happen.
Sally, we only have a minute left. Are you good with that answer, Sally?
I am. I know I need to get his ears trimmed out better. He's a little bit of a grump. He's kind of a grumpy old man, so I probably have trouble getting them trimmed up as well as I should, but I'm going to work on that.
You know what? Find a treat he loves. He just loves, 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 and don't give it to him any other time, and then give him little bits of it, and he'll put up with anything. He's a cocker.
Oh boy, I hope
he loves food. Okay, well, call us back and let us know how that goes, Sally. We'd love to hear from you on All Paws Pet Talk.
Well, thanks so much. I got some great information.
And well, thanks for calling, Sally, and you keep us posted.
Well, I sure will. Thanks so much.
All right.
Okay, so bye-bye. Keep listening, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You can now hear all of our shows anytime, 24/7. You just go to WPetTalkRadio.com on the web, or on your smartphone, WPet Talk Radio on the TuneIn app. I want to tell you all about the mistletoe at my house, Dr. Carol, but you're going to have to hang in there till the last segment to hear me talk about it.
Well,
who was I kissing under the mistletoe? Don't you want to know?
I want to know that, and I've got something to tell you and our All Paws Pet Talk loving listeners about mistletoe that I'll bet you no one knows.
Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime you're